Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Father Carter Griffin's newest book is one that needs to be on every pastoral formator's shelf. Forming Fathers, Seminary Wisdom for Every Priest, seeks to remind priests of the lessons so greatly needed to fulfill their calling faithfully. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hello, welcome back to Letters from Home. I'm Clem Harrell. Today is Saturday of the 31st week in Ordinary Time, November 5th, 2022. A famous day in British history. Perhaps you know the poem about November 5th. It's the day, of course, when the famous gunpowder plot was foiled and Guy Fawkes, a Catholic, tried to blow up the English Houses of Parliament. And he was caught in the act. He was hoping to kill the tyrannical King James I. And again, the plot was foiled. And he came to poor Guy Fawkes was cruelly tortured and executed, and really came to a very, very horrible end. Obviously, what he did was, even the Catholics at the time saw it as something very immoral, that because of all the innocents that would be killed in the act. So it certainly has not been defended in the Catholic tradition, but to this day, English people, England being a very Anglican country these days, these days more of a secular country, but historically Anglican since the Reformation, they'll still have these effigies of Guy Fawkes that they'll throw on bonfires today. So a strange tradition, a fairly anti-Catholic tradition, regrettably, and they also have fireworks, but in some ways it's become a bit of a kind of 4th of July style celebration. But anyway, that's a little history lesson on the 5th of November. Turning then to the readings for today. So I want to focus on the gospel reading because it is about the topic of wealth and what an important topic this is, what an essential topic it is. That famous line, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and wealth in Luke chapter 16. Whenever I read passages like this, it's so striking to me that there's large parts of the Gospels that we read and we simply assume this doesn't apply to me. So many times Jesus will say things and I'm reading it and I say, goodness me, what a great gospel message, what a radical message, but it's not really relevant to me. He ain't speaking to me. And this, I think, is a great example of that. We just look at it and we say, Jesus is talking about rich people, whoever they are. I don't know how I define rich people, but I know that I'm not one of them. And, it's people over there, up there. They're the ones who he's speaking to. This is not a message for me. And I would challenge you, brothers and sisters, challenge myself to say that that is the wrong attitude when we're looking at the Gospels, when we're looking at the words, the exhortations of our Lord. What we need to challenge ourselves to see is how this is, in fact, a message, not just for those wealthier than me, of whom there are many, but it's a message for me personally, because I would wager that most of us listening today to this podcast are extraordinarily rich by any historical standard, certainly far richer in material wealth than the Pharisees who Jesus is talking to. Perhaps in relative terms, not all of us are super well off, but the reality is that we all have disordered attachments to wealth, to material possessions, and so we all need to take our Lord's words seriously. Sometimes I think in today's culture, we have this weird fixation on philanthropy. You get all these billionaires and famous figures coming out and saying, hey, I'm going to give huge amounts of money to charity. You think of Bill and Melinda Gates or someone like Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook or now the company Meta, he was in the news a few years ago saying, look, guys, by the end of my life or even in the next whatever it was, 10, 20 years, I'm going to give away 99% of my wealth. And everyone is singing his praises and saying, oh, my goodness me, how amazing. And yet I remember at the time even doing the math and figuring out, okay, what's his estimated net worth, whatever it was, $40, $50 billion. And then I took, okay, what's 1% of that? And 1% of his wealth still made him worth hundreds of millions of dollars, made him worth more than most of us could ever dream of being worth. And I was so struck because, like, okay, you know, we're praising this guy for his philanthropy. And yeah, I mean, there is something very laudable there. I don't want to take that away from a Mark Zuckerberg. Plenty of other problems with Mark Zuckerberg, but, you know, okay, good on him for that charity. And yet, this is not the fullness of Christian charity, of a gospel charity. Like, there's still an unwillingness there to give up an enormously luxurious, enormously wealthy, privileged lifestyle. Like, yeah, I'm going to give away 99%, but I'm still going to be worth hundreds of millions. I'm still going to have my luxury cars and my private yachts and my multiple homes. And again, maybe he's on a journey. I don't mean to single him out for condemnation, but it's a reminder, I think, in the way we approach these things, that Jesus doesn't call us, he calls us beyond just giving a percentage, beyond just giving a certain lump sum. He calls us to a radical change of heart, a new disposition of heart. That's what he calls us to. And so, as we approach this gospel, I think it's worth asking ourselves, am I being truly generous with my possessions? Do I tithe regularly? Do I give that 10%, which is very rooted in the biblical tradition, very rooted in Old Testament tradition? It's different, I think, if you're perhaps a student, if you're, you know, really loaded down with debt, if you have some very unusual financial challenges. But for most of us, it's like, if I have a salary, am I giving 10%? And really, Mrs. Hahn would always challenge me on this when I was living in Steubenville, is are you giving 10% of your gross income, not your income after tax, 10% of your gross income every month going to charitable causes? Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, I challenge you to do that. Because that 10% in the Catholic tradition is not even a particularly extraordinary act of generosity. That's considered simply the bare minimum that you are required to give in justice. That is in the order of justice that you should be giving at least 10% of your wealth. And for many of us, actually, we should be challenging ourselves to say, should I be giving more than that? I've used this analogy before, I think, in these podcasts, but Father Jacques Maritain, in his little book on finding peace, he gives this analogy that he says, we often ask God if we can grow in trust. We pray for the gift of faith. We say, God, you know, why don't you make yourself more trustworthy? How do I grow in trust of you? But he says that we so rarely give him opportunities for us to grow in trust of him, that we so rarely put ourselves in our modern lifestyles in a situation where we're forced to rely on God's providence. And Father Jacques is very careful. He says, look, we do need to plan. We need to, you know, plot out finances. We need to have budgets. We need to have schedules. We do need all these things. They have a place. But if they're taking up every little minute, every little penny of our days, if our entire life is structured so that that our schedule is designed to make us never need to rely on God, and our budget is so resolutely set that we'll never need to rely on providence, then maybe there's a problem. And Father Jacques gives us an analogy of jumping out of an airplane. He says, hey, your parachute is only gonna expand, your parachute's only gonna open if you jump out of that plane. And sometimes we have to jump out of the plane in order to experience God's providence, experience that parachute of divine grace. How that works out practically is sometimes a difficult question, but it's something I think to take to prayer and to ask ourselves. And I think beginning with tithing. So if you're not doing that, that's a great way to begin growing in trust and say, God, I believe if I give you 10%, give 10% to your church, to your people, then you will reward me, that it will be worth it. I grow in trust of you. And maybe again, maybe it's more than 10%. So I leave those thoughts with you. I'm reminded of the example of Rick Warren, who's a conservative Protestant pastor, who made a lot of money selling a number of books. One of his books, Purpose Driven Life, sold tens of millions of copies. And I remember he would practice reverse tithing, where he would give away 90% of his income. And I was always just so amazed by that. It really stuck with me. It's like, wow, this guy ain't a Catholic, but he is just living out the gospel in a radical way, giving every month, every year, 90% of his income going to the poor. Because he realized, like, yeah, if I read a gospel like this, that is the kind of radical self-giving that God is calling me to. Rick Warren, I think, is someone who takes this gospel and says, this isn't just applying to the Pharisees, not just applying to the rich people out there. This is applying to me. I don't think we're all called to 90%, but I do think we're all called to be radical. And I leave you with this line from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, which is, of course, the gospel acclamation verse for today. Jesus Christ became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. So often I think we forget the transformative effect that the gospel has had on our civilization, on our culture, our society. This verse is, in a sense, completely unprecedented in the whole history of human thought up to the incarnation, telling us that Jesus Christ, God himself, the Almighty Father of creation, became poor, became one of the poor, although he was infinitely rich, so that by his poverty we might become rich. This is the Christian truth which changed civilization forever, gave rise to Christian charities and Christian love of the poor, which never existed in the pagan world, never existed in the ancient world. It was this radical new revelation that God himself has become one of the poor. And so we owe them our utmost respect. We owe them our utmost care. And we are called to take this gospel to heart and realize that it applies to us just as much as to the Pharisees, that we have to challenge ourselves. Do we serve both God and mammon? Are we truly committed to God above all things, above all our material possessions? It is an exhortation. It's a summons very much for me, as for you, my brothers and sisters. And so let's take that to heart this day, on this November 5th. Let's ask ourselves how we can become more generous, more self-sacrificial, and more detached from these earthly belongings, so that we really, truly take Christ's word seriously as speaking to you and to me. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes Technical Director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.